Well, we're now going to have the reading of the Word of God. I understand Lane is going to come and share the reading. Good. Bless you. Thank you for that.
Our first reading this morning is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, starting at verse 13. This can be found on page 1014 of the Church Bibles. Verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. Now, if you can turn with me to Romans chapter 12, this is found on page 1139, and we're going to read verses 14 to 16. Romans 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Amen.
Bless you, Lane, for reading that to us all. Helpfully. Well, lovely to be here, as I said, and I'm going to just share for a short while now about how you can give and receive a blessing. I have an admission to make. I hardly ever say thank you. Isn't that awful, isn't it? Yes, I can see people shaking nodding their heads. I don't say thank you very often. And the reason for that is because many years ago, and I can't remember how long ago, suddenly into my speech, I started to say bless you to people rather than thank you. And invariably, I find myself saying bless you. You may have traced some of that today. I may have said thanks once again. I may have said bless you. I think I may have said bless you just now. And it came into my vocabulary, and I find myself so often now saying to people, bless you, bless you. And that has given me, as you can imagine, quite a few opportunities when people have turned to me and said, I've never been blessed before. I've never been blessed before. And it gives an opportunity. I'm not suggesting that that is the lifestyle or a model for you to adopt, but that's an admission from me. I'd rather say bless you. And the term to bless has various meanings. Technically, it describes the act of consecrating something or someone by religious rite. That's R-I-T-E. Or word, okay? And when the Bible was being translated into Old English, that word bless was to speak well of or to praise. And it wasn't until later that there was a shift and the meaning really became to pronounce or to make happy, okay? And today, I think in most respects, it means to confer happiness or blessing upon someone else. Even when someone sneezes, I suppose that's something we've been used to over the years. And bless you, yeah? Bless you. We say it almost every time we hear someone sneeze. And I think in a way that really is to confer continued health on that person, yeah? I hope you get through the situation, no? Bless you. I hope you have continued health and you'll go on to be well. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' instruction was and is to love your enemies and bless them. That's tough, isn't it? Love your enemies and to bless them. To bless them that curse you, it says. And blessing was so important to Jesus that he wants us and he instructs us to actually bless our enemies. I don't know about you, but I find that tough. I find that hard going when the atrocities of the world that are recorded and we not only read about, but we see them visibly and so starkly on our news, bulletins, etc. And in Jewish tradition, an older person would bless the younger person by raising the right hand and by speaking a blessing over them. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all record part of that reading that we had this morning, of Jesus touching and laying hands on children to bless them. You know the story. The disciples rebuked the parents for bringing their children to Jesus that he may touch them. And Jesus in turn rebukes the disciples. And he says that old-fashioned word, suffer not. Yeah? Refuse them not. Hey, bring them to me. And he picked them up, put them in his arms, and Jesus laid his hands upon them and he blessed them. But Jesus did not stop at blessing enemies and in blessing children. He went on to give his very life. Why? Well, in Galatians, we read the reason why. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. And this is the bit he says there in verse 14. He says, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to us, the Gentiles. He gave life for that reason. And as you study these verses, we begin to realize afresh that the move of the Spirit, which I believe you as a people, I'm sure, desire to have here in this place, the move of the Spirit that you and I long for, is part of the blessing which Jesus died to give us. So God is in the business to bless. Right back in the Old Testament, we'll see how he blessed them. Let's look further. My curiosity as I began to look at this blessing thing for you this morning was to remember what's known as the law of first mention. You say, what on earth is the law of first mention, Joel? Well, biblical scholars and teachers, over the centuries, when they have perhaps struggled or had difficulty in unpacking a particular doctrinal truth or thought or doctrinal thing, they would go back into the Word of God, into the very first mention of that particular truth, and normally and they will find it in that root meaning, that sort of etymology, that root beginning of that truth or that whatever, something that will help them to understand that particular truth as it winds its way through the Word of God. The law of first mention. Go back to the origin. Go back to the beginning. And I did this in this blessing. I thought, well, what happened in the beginning? And it is just as God and his people were in this blessing business right from the start. After God completed his crowning creation of man and woman, what did he do? He blessed them. He blessed them. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Did I write that down somewhere? Let's have a look and see. I did. Let me read it to you. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And it says, God blessed them. God blessed them. And said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish, the sea, the birds, and every living creature, etc., and etc. And throughout the Old Testament, as you wind through the Old Testament, I'm sure you have done so and you know it so well, the family's head, verbal blessing was a serious matter. That's why Esau hated Jacob so much, because of the blessing which his father gave him. Now we know that that was a blessing that was actually designed for the firstborn. It was designed for Jacob, for Esau, because he was first out of the womb. I understand the tension. And in Genesis 27:41, I think I made a note of that as well. In Genesis 27:41, we read this. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to him, this is quite striking. Esau said, the days of mourning for my father are near, then I will kill my brother Jacob. All because the blessing which he should have had had gone
to his brother. Blessing was absolutely vital throughout the Old Testament teaching and the Old Testament way of life. And the Orthodox Jews to this very day rehearse the blessings which Jacob spoke over his 12 sons. And if you go into Genesis 49 and verse 28, you will find there how Jacob blessed each of his 12 sons one by one with a specific blessing. It says that there was a blessing that was appropriate to them. And you can read all of the blessings to all of the sons in Genesis chapters 49. There's a certain mystery, I think, about blessing that many of us perhaps still don't understand. But friends, this morning, I believe God has brought me here to tell you this, that blessing is throughout God's word. And blessing is powerful. It's powerful. And as one studies the New Testament, it seems to me from my reading of the Pauline teachings that the believer was and is to have a lifestyle of blessing. And our reading in Romans earlier, bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you and live in harmony one with another. James, the writer there, if you go into James, he found that believers struggle to have this lifestyle of blessing, especially in speech. In James 3, verses 10 and 11, if anyone wants a copy of, I've got a spare copy of my notes. If you want them afterwards, and take a copy away and look these up then in more detail, please do. The writer to James says, out of the same mouth. This is the passage on the tongue. Some of you, I know it very well. You preach on it probably, and so have I. Out of the mouth, the same mouth, come praise and cursing. And he says, this should not be. God was clear to Moses, outlining how Aaron and the priests were to give blessings to the children of Israel. In Numbers 6, 24 and 26, you know that ironic blessing that we love so much. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I don't know if that's been written. Do we know that one? We don't know that one. Well, it's lovely. The ironic blessing. I love it. I think it's absolutely gorgeous. God was clear to Moses how the priests were to give blessings. And at the end of that ironic blessing, of Numbers 6, 24, 26, we never mention verse 27, but it says, and I will bless them. Are you getting the message this morning? God is in the blessing business. God, he blessed his creation. He blessed throughout the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we are to be those who bless. The priests were responsible to bless the people in God's Old Testament economy. But the question for us this morning is, who are the priests in God's New Testament economy? According to Peter, in Peter 2 verse 5, believers are holy and a royal priesthood. We know the song, we've sung it before. I'm not going to sing another song because I'll bore you to tears. But that lovely, a royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to God, that lovely song. You also, says that Peter, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a royal priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. So what about this blessing others business? Since we are today's priests then, we are today's priests. You and I, if we love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are the priests called by God to bless others, I personally have to go beyond studying it. And I have to go to that point where I preach it. And so that's why you're the poor recipients of this morning. Because as I've been blessed by being looking at it, I thought it right to share with you. I want to just mention three possible definitions of blessing. Number one. To make whole or holy by spoken words. Number two, to ask divine favor. To wish a person or situation well. To make prosperous. Do you like that one? Yeah? To make prosperous and make happy or glad. So we can bless the following. I've been here once before, and I've spoken to one or two people this morning, and I sense, as I look on your website and look at the details on there as well, that you are a people who have that you are a missional people. You have a mission on your heart to this state, to this area, is that right? You can nod, you can move your head up and down, feel free. Yeah, I will not hold you, I wouldn't single you out if you nod your head up and down and say, hey, come tell us about it, okay? So feel free. You are a highly missional people. And you will have, as I have, a desire and need to bless situations, to bless circumstances, to bless people. And I've heard it even said this morning, and to bless God. Oops, really, John? To bless God, can we bless God? I was brought up hearing people use that term, and I use it myself when I'm praying sometimes, and then bless you, Lord. Bless God. I looked into this because I discovered that part of the root meaning of the term, part of that etymology, that root meaning of the word to bless, is to add strength to another's arm. Yep. I always think of the, just thought of that one. It's, who was it on the mountain? Was it Aaron? Moses and the supernatural arm rest while the children of Israel prevailed when the arms were raised up. I just thought of that, and when they fell, yeah? To add strength to someone's arm. In this respect, it's to bless others, it's to build them up, to fill them with encouragement, for them to increase in strength and prosperity. So as it's impossible for you and I to add strength to God's arm, it seems an odd use of the term, doesn't it? And I looked at it a bit further, and I discovered the reason is this, that the Old Testament English blexion, to bless, was also chosen to translate the Hebrew BRK. You pronounce it. Brr. All right? It's the same word, which meant to bend the knee, to worship, to praise, and to invoke blessing. To invoke blessing, an entirely appropriate reference to our relationship to God. What does it mean to add strength to another's arm? Anything that helps them breathe more easily. Friends, I'm speaking to you, not new stuff. This is stuff you already do. I'm encouraging you in what you already do in blessing others. Anything that helps them breathe more easily, lifts their spirit or relieves their distress. And the way that we can bless people and situations, friends, it can be a small thing or it can be a large thing. And it may well be that someone is on your heart to bless this week. Perhaps it's something on your heart in this New Testament economy. You are priests unto God here. To bless some situation. It may be in the request we had this morning to bless that lovely family in Zimbabwe who are struggling so desperately this morning. It can be a small or a large thing. And I want to suggest three quick forms, and I'm sure you do most of them, but they do bless. Three things. Words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. Sending a note to somebody. Sending a text. How many here have got a contract with a mobile company where texts are unlimited? Hands up. Come on, be honest. High as you can. A bit higher. Yeah, okay. Unlimited texts, and I have them. And that's my chosen way. I send, not like confetti, but I would send 3, 4, 5 texts every day to somebody that's on my heart to say I'm thinking of them, praying for them, perhaps being a bit specific about what it is, or encourage them, or to applaud them, to affirm them in their ministry, affirm them in something that they're perhaps tackling, to encourage them. Sending a note, let them know you've noticed something worthwhile about them. Mark Twain said this, he said, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. Yeah? I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. It's like oxygen to the soul, friends. A word of affirmation helps our souls breathe more easily. When we encourage others, what we are saying to them is, friend, I know. I care. I am there for you. I am with you. How can I help? We show we believe in the person and in their abilities to give credit and to praise. What it is, friends, is you bless them. You bless them as you send the note. So words of affirmation. Number two, acts of kindness. Cutting the next door neighbour's lawn who's having difficulty in mobility. Babysitting for a single mother who finds it hard to get out, just saying, can I come round, perhaps for 2 or 3 hours? Go out with your friends. Have an evening out. We add strength to their people's arms. Doing a bit of DIY for someone who no longer can use their electric drill. I've got an electric drill at home. I haven't used it. I had to say for about 15, 16 years. And I now need to put something up now, and I'm wondering whether it'll work or not. So I might have to find someone who's come and strengthen my arm and lightens the load. So acts of kindness, words of affirmation, acts of kindness where you bless them, and finally, gifts. The recipient sees that they are known, cared for, and valued. And not just birthday gifts, not just perhaps a Christmas gift, but those ad hoc, spontaneous, little small things. Don't have to be big. Doesn't have to be a lot of money. Some things cost money, but some things are free. Your time, your care, your getting alongside. That's a gift as well. A food basket for someone who's struggling. A cheering someone up if they're feeling down. It doesn't cost anything. The recipient knows they're being thought of. We bless them. So we are called to bless in order to bless. Because the Word of God says that we are to bless the nations. We are to bless the nations. So my encouragement to you this morning is, friends, God is in this blessing business right from the start, right throughout the Old Testament, right throughout the New Testament in the model that we are to adopt. And God wants us to bless situations, bless people, and indeed even put our blessings to himself as well. So as I wind up and bring this to a close, all believers are priests in God's eyes, and God has given your leadership here at this church. He's given them headship of this congregation. And I think you can and you should accept from them blessings, pronouncements of blessings. I'm sure they do from time to time. And as I close this morning, I want to encourage you, if you're happy, to exercise a Jewish custom. As I stretch out my right hand in a few moments and pronounce some blessings, I encourage you, if you wish, don't feel you have to stand up, you can sit if you wish, just to raise your right hand, a symbol of the fact that you are happy to receive that blessing. Happy for God to speak into your spirit this morning. God has laid on my heart a few blessings to pronounce, and we have time. So if you will indulge me, if you wish, to sit where you are in a moment, raise your right hand if you wish, just as they would in the Jewish custom, to receive the blessing from God. Let's just be quiet for a few moments. Just before we involve ourselves in that blessing upon you this morning, just a summary of what we've just shared as we quietly wait upon God. It was and it is Jesus' desire that everyone be blessed. God and his people were into blessing in the Old Testament. The New Testament teaches that believers are to have a lifestyle of blessing. And you and I this morning are the priests of today, called by God to bless others. We can bless situations, we can bring blessing, invoke blessing upon people. Finally, God wants us to pronounce blessings. So I'm going to raise my right hand if you wish to raise your right hand. I believe there's 3 or 4 blessings here that I feel led to share with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, friends, I bless you with the promises of God, which are yea and amen. The Holy Spirit make you healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit to move in faith and expectancy. I believe God is asking me to call for that in terms of your future ministry here, in faith and expectancy. May God's angels be with you individually and as a church for you to protect and to keep and to guide you. And I pray you be blessed with supernatural strength. There's someone here to turn your eyes from foolish, worthless, and evil things. Instead, may you behold the beauty of things that God has planned for you as you obey his word. And perhaps if someone here this morning, we need to hear these words. I bless your ears to hear the lovely, the uplifting and the encouraging, and to shut out the demeaning and the negative. May your feet walk in holiness and your steps be ordered by the Lord. May your hands be tender, helping hands to those in need, hands that bless. May your heart be humble and receptive to one another and to the things of God and not to the world. May your mind be strong, disciplined, balanced, and faith-filled. God's grace be upon your homes, friend, that it may be a sanctuary of rest and renewal, a haven of peace, where sounds of joy and love to grace its walls, where love and unconditional acceptance of one another is consistent. For those of you who are in the world of work, still working, God give you success. God give you your prosperity in your business and your place of work as you acknowledge and obey the imperative of Scripture concerning the tithe. God give you the spiritual strength to overcome the evil one, to avoid temptation. God's grace be upon you to fulfill your dreams and your visions. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your long life. And finally, this blessing, the one we shared earlier, which I sang to you, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.